Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, it's Carly with Daytime After Dark on the Blog Talk Network, and tonight we have Dale Penglin, who played Andre DeMera, Tony DeMera, and Victor Cassadine, and he also was in the Book of Esther. So let me welcome him to the show. Hi, Taya.
Doing?
Hi, Taya. Welcome back. We haven't had you in so long, and I am so happy that you are with us again.
Ah, well, thank you. Yeah, how long has it been?
I don't know, a year? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we've had you on the show. And I'm so happy you're back on Dave. I am so happy that you're playing Tony and not Andre, because Tony, I always root for. I mean, yeah, Tony can be a little evil. But the evil, how you play it, I love it. And I love that Tony Anna is back. I love that. And I love that, you know, you are doing such a great job on the show. But let me ask you, how did you survive COVID-19 and being shut down for 5 months? How was that?
Well, like everybody else, I suppose. You know, I like my house. I have an interesting collection of art that I've gotten through my journeys. And sometimes I would sit there. It's about, you know, not jumping the gun and getting worried or nervous. I don't go out very much. I have a few friends come, but nobody cooks anymore, so I'm still doing all the cooking. You know, so it's been fine. I mean, you know, I've missed my family because, you know, in 2019 at the end, I went to, I had just come back from Egypt, and then I went to New York and then came back and went to Australia, and then suddenly nothing for a whole year. So, you know, I miss writing about my journeys, and I miss posting some of my newer photos and the journeys that I've taken. But other than that, you know, it's just been so mishandled here. You know, when I look back on Australia and how they've handled it there, which has been wonderful, they're more isolated than we are. But it's just that the previous head of government just didn't handle it well.
Wow. You know, I loved when you had your pictures in Soap Opera Digest with, you know, your trips. I love those pictures. And, you know, I haven't been anywhere in a year. So, yeah, after this COVID thing, I am taking a long trip somewhere. I don't know yet where, but I think, you know, I'm calling for that because it's just been a crazy time. And so how do you like being back on Dave? Because, you know, you are one of the co-families on Days of Our Life. I mean, the DeMeras have been on there since 1980, I believe. And I feel like, you know, the DeMera family is getting, you know, a new facelift or whatever with you and your brother back. And I just love it. And, I mean, I also loved you, Tony and Kate. But then I like Tony and Anna, so I'm totally divided on which one
well, it was
I like
more,
though.
Yeah, but it was Andre and Kate and Tony and Anna. But I hear they've built a new set, which I'm looking forward to seeing. I thought the story, some of the, like I have one show coming up where I confront Jake, which I liked. I liked working with Lauren again. I know a lot of people were suspicious that it was possibly Andre. I always like to play things in a kind of diabolical way where you're not quite sure who it is. It just adds to the mystery of the character, and rather than just being the same mundane person you always see, you always want to bring a few secrets along with you. So I've enjoyed coming back. It's been wonderful working with Leanne and with Lauren. I thought it was an interesting what they'll see in the scenes that I have coming up with Brandon Brush, interesting scenes, because here they are, two Damaris kind of confronting each other, which I wish there's going to be more of, because I thought those scenes went really well. So they should be airing, I think, in the next week or so.
Wow.
But, you know,
yeah.
I think if I took another, I was thinking about my next journey, and people think I'm crazy, but I do want to go to Iran. You know, I like that whole history there. And so this past year, I ended up writing an article for Soap Opera Day just on the arrogance of a loser. Now I'm doing another one called In Search of a Goddess. And I'm also writing for my podcast. So I've just almost finished the podcast writing, and then I'm going to record it next week, I think, and then my manager's going to be probably putting in the sound effects. But I just finished going through it, and I think it's an interesting story about this amazing treasure, and I know people like those things. I do. Is finding, you know, what lies underneath from ancient history. I mean, if you've ever discovered anything in the earth that belonged from it to another era, then you understand the excitement of it. So this podcast is going, it's going to be about my journeys, but also about the discoveries I've made. And this one is really a great story, but it's going to be a trilogy. And one is the going to Troy and the discovery of where Cleomenes found the gold. And then it's about the second part is on the curse of Atreus. And that's a fascinating story. And that goes back to 1500 BC. And then I've got the third one, which is about bringing Ulysses home and after 3000 years. So that's going to be the first three of my podcast. And then after that, I was thinking maybe it'd be nice to invite some of my actors from Days and have a conversation around the table on behind the scenes. I may even do a cooking segment. I don't know, but it's all giving its birth, and we hope it'll turn out well, and that the people will enjoy the read, you know, or the stories, because let's face it, a lot of people are listening to podcasts these days, so that's what I want to do. So, you know, it's about half an hour for each podcast.
Well, that is so cool. About all you're doing, and I just want to say that, you know, last year and this year, you were both. Wait, was it last year? Okay, some names I don't remember what year I'm in because of the COVID, but yeah. For 3 years running, in 2019 and 2020, you were up for the outstanding lead. Well, one, you were outstanding guest lead in a drama series. And I feel like you should have got it. And I feel really bad for you because I was rooting for you. a lot.
Oh, thank you.
And then when you were also the lead actor in the drama series in 2020, I also won you again, even though, you know, you were in a very good company of guides for the lead of the actor, but you know, I just don't think you get enough praise by the press and by the daytime Emmys as you should.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I thought the guest star work 2 years ago was some of my best. I thought Ron Cavallati wrote a really interesting black and white segment that I did with Marcy. I was disappointed I didn't win there. I was surprised when I saw the other work, how it went. You know, sometimes Cavallati writes wonderful segments for me and some wonderful writing. But part of me wants to go in and shake up the Demerara house for where it is. But I'm just the actor interpreting the writer's words, so that's where we're at.
Well, you know, I love that. You know, I love the Demerara Manson. I think it's like somewhere I want to live, even though I think it's spooky a little. And with all the, ways into the Demerara Manson and how people can hide for weeks and be kidnapped in the Demerara Manson, I've always thought that was, you know, really cool but freaky at the same time.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that Joe's portrait is there, so he's always there in spirit, you know, and it's a constant reminder how much I've missed him. Because we did start together, and I know it was a long time ago, but you know, I thought it was the reason why that family has resonated and lasted so long is because I think of the good work and those who, you know, crossed the path of myself and Joe, our romances, our you know, our histrionics. Who knows what the Demeras were up to? But you know, there were also boundaries, which I'm finding are not as prominent these days. You know, we're breaking all the rules, I think. I watch other shows as well, and we don't have boundaries anymore. I think these last 4 years in this country, I think boundaries have been broken, and that always leads to chaos to me. I think that's why we had chaos this past year.
Well, I'm just glad. Oh, and my grandma, her two side to call in, absolutely loved that you were back. When she saw you, she lit up like a Christmas tree. And, you know, since she's been staying home a lot, because, you know, she's at that category being 93, you know, my mom doesn't want her out a lot. So, yeah, she just loves you, and she was kind of jealous that I got you back. So, yeah, I mean, I was trying to get her on air, but she too shy. But I was looking over your resume, too. And so you've been in a lot of shows that I wasn't aware that you were in. And I was watching YouTube last night, and you were great on Magnum P.I. When you did that show. You were really wonderful on that. How was that? Because Magnum P.I., if I'm right, I hope I'm right, it was in Hawaii, right?
Well, we were in Hawaii. I was there for 3 weeks, actually, on a cruise. And that's where the show took place. I don't like boats a lot, especially when you're working as an actor, because if the waves are rough, so is your stance. And that one, was offered to me, not knowing that I was going to die. God, I've died so many times on shows. It's amazing. It's after a while, you're going to yourself, I mean, does anybody want me to live? It seems to be a constant. But I thought Tom Selleck and I had studied together in the workshop in the 80s, and a lovely man. And it was a wonderful experience. Those actors that were on the ship were terrific. We had a lot of fun together, and we spent 3 weeks going out, having a lot of fun, and working on the cruise. And then we took a helicopter ride over Kauai, and then I realized that I wasn't crazy about helicopters either. I've got probably a weak stomach when it comes to those things. Except, you know, when you go on those mad rides like you have on Disneyland and all that, when I was younger and I used to do those things, I was fine. But, no, I think, you know, I've done a lot of other work outside of Days, and I think probably Mission was probably my favorite of all. I think because I enjoyed all the disguises. And from week to week, never knowing what new accent I had to learn. But it was always a challenge. But it was great. But, you know, now I'm at a point where I'd like to go and spend 3 months in Egypt and then spend 3 months in Greece. I'd like to and write. And so I'm doing my third book, and Culture and Cuisine. And so, you know, my family wants me to go back to Australia to move back. And I'm not quite sure as yet if I'm going to do that, because it's so isolated and it's very difficult. I mean, you know, imagine it's a 14-hour trip from the States. It's 26 hours to Europe. So it's a bit far for everything. And but a great country, great country.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, I was watching also, you know, because I have the time right now. You were also on, Mission Impossible. But that was the TV show, was that the movie? I'm confused.
No, it was the series. In the late 80s, early
90s.
Yeah, it was a series in the late 80s. And then, but we had to shoot it in Australia because of the strike here. And so I remained in Australia for 2 years. But it was great to be there with the family. Yeah, I mean, it's, Tom Cruise has made it into something else. So, I mean, I think his movies are great. It's just about him, really. It's not. I mean, even though he's building a team in his movies, ours is different. I think ours were much closer as far as the actors were concerned.
Well, I think what General Hospital made the mistake of killing you off because you were so good.
I wasn't killed off on General Hospital. The choice of staying on General
you were killed off in 2014.
Oh, you mean, you know, it's funny. I don't even think of that time. I thought about the original time. Yeah, the original time. Yes, but I was told I was going to come back, that I really hadn't died. There we go again with another death. I hadn't really died and I was going to come back. But then Days came back to me, and so I went back to Days of Our Lives.
Well,
I don't know.
I think I loved that you were on General Hospital again, that they brought you back. But I feel like in the 90s, I mean in the 80s, during the Ice Princess saga, and you were on it, you were absolutely wonderful. And, you know, when you reprised your role, you know, Victor again, I loved it. I loved your book with Kathleen Gotti. That was really good. And I just wish they did not kill you off, because in case they live a life, let you go again, which I hope they never do, then I would love, I would love to see you back on there. But as long as Date of a Life keeps you, I'm happy. And if anything happens, always let me know, and I will start a campaign for you, because you are so great. You belong on Date of a Life. You are one of the co-characters that have been there so long. And I'm grateful that you're still on there, because, you know, I'd love to see what you're going to do next. So I know you cannot tell us what is coming down the line for Tony. I don't want to get Tony into, I don't want to get you in trouble, but I'm kind of curious, you know, now that Anna's back and you're back. Are you guys back for a longer stint? Can you tell the fans that, at least?
I don't know. I have no idea of where we are with the show. We went in, we've done a certain amount of shows, and I'm upstairs having dinner somewhere in the Demera household, I suppose. At least I wasn't, you know, we didn't depart and go back to Europe, and so I'm not sure. And there's not much story I can tell you about, I think this year, because of the COVID, even though we had a lot of shows that we had pre-taped, I think what happened is that as soon as we found out the show was going to go again, and because of it's very difficult with going onto the show early and then getting tested and then having to wait around until you're clear. And then you have to work in very strict boundaries on the show. It's not an easy process, but it's a great team. You know, the crew is wonderful. The actors are great. Our producer. But as far as that, we'll see. I hope there will be some kind of rivalry. But we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, I've always loved the chemistry between you and Tony and Zahn. You and Drake has always had this great chemistry. And for a moment in Date of a Life history, you guys were brothers. Yeah, wait. Brothers? I believe brothers. Oh, uncle. Oh, well, son, well. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed seeing Zahn kind of thinking he was a Demera for a second. And I just think whenever you and Drake and Deidre, Marlon, all of you guys work together, it is a really great time. And it just reminds me of, back in the old days when everyone got to work with everyone. And, now sometimes we don't see everyone together, on the same show, in the same storylines like we did in the 80s.
Well, that was the golden era. We had the budget and the time to, rehearse, and we didn't have all these obstacles to overcome. I mean, it's tough. I mean, to try to work out that nobody gets COVID, and they play it safe. They're very strict about it, which they have to be. But it's not the same as it was in the 80s. I mean, is anything the same anymore? I mean, everything, as we seem to move on in life, things get to be less personal. things are not as interesting, I don't think, as they used to be. I mean, even our movies are not as interesting as they used to be. And I think that's also about restrictions and the fact that we make movies. I mean, I'm watching a series right now, a miniseries called, with Nicole Kidman, The Undoing, which I think is one of the best things I've seen on TV in years. You know, but it's just that, you know, I've lived long enough to look, and so have you, where we can look back and why is it always the past seemed to be always better, always greater somehow, because we can reflect and see the period and how it affects us. But the future is what you make of it. You know, we used to know what stories were coming up or what they were going to do. Now we don't know anything. So it's very hard to talk about a show when you don't know, and also the fact that you're being brought on periodically, so you don't really have the arc that you used to have or that the adrenaline that goes through. But, you know, I just base my work on, you know, on my training, and it's great to be working. And also, I like working with the actors that I do, and so it's... as tough as it may be, it's at least we still have fans around who want to watch the show. It's just that it's tougher now. We don't have that luxury, you know.
And I had Wally on last night, and I asked him, you know, because you guys are back at work.
Who did you have?
And
who did you have?
Who
did you have?
Wally Cook on.
He played Dustin, and
he told me that it's kind of nice that you guys are not like 6 months ahead anymore. That you guys are like 2 or 3 months ahead, because when you guys were 6 months ahead, like when you guys came on, and I was asking you guys about a storyline and. It was 6 months old. You guys didn't really remember that because you guys are shooting so far in advance. So the only good thing that came from COVID is, you know, you guys are only going to be like 2 or 3 months ahead. You know, and I think for, you know, the whole daytime community, is really a good thing, and you know, I love that you're on daytime. I love that you're back, and I promise not to hog you today. I mean, I could, but I won't. And we have some calls, so are you willing to take a couple of calls?
Sure.
Okay.
Hello, it's Andrea.
Hey.
Oh, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Are you behaving?
Of course I'm behaving. You know, who's the one who doesn't behave? I'm the one who behaves. We shall not say Stacy's name. I thought I had 4 more hours to think of stuff to ask you, and then I happened to just jump on Twitter, and then I saw the time had changed. I think
no,
8 minutes before.
That time had changed. It was always 1 o'clock.
No.
I messed up. That was my fault.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she had a banner on, or someone had a banner on that said that it was going to be 8 p.m. tonight. And so I had thought, plenty of time. And I'm glad I checked Twitter when I did. So, you know, I guess I got to keep it on more. But you sound good.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm sitting here on my settee and in my office and of my house and talking to lovely people.
That's great. You know what I want to see is maybe we could see more of your house sometime. So if you could do, I don't know how your podcast is going to work, if it's going to be visual at all or if it's all just listen
no,
audio, because I
it's audio.
Audio. Okay, so when you do the like a KO round, KO talk table type thing, when you maybe have your co-stars on, like you were talking, that would also be just audio. We won't see anything.
I don't know yet. That I don't know. It's just beginning. I've got a number of projects I want to do first. I also want to do a reading of the script I wrote on Schliemann and the Discovery of Troy. It's a period piece,
yeah,
but it's a fantastic love story. But that, you know, could be interesting visually. I don't know. You know, the thing is with podcasts, people listen while they're driving, you know. So if it's a visual thing, then that would be difficult. So the audio, you know, sometimes I like doing audio because it stimulates the imagination, and you can picture some of the things depending on your storyteller, on how they tell the story. But for me, because I've tested it a bit when it comes to, because I had my one-man show here and on the East Coast on my journeys, and I found that people love the stories. And so I thought, well, I have to do this one day. And so my manager in Canada said, listen, we need to do a podcast, I think. And so I have a lot of stories to talk about. He's going to put in the special sound effects, and we'll see how it turns out. But it'll be a very visual in your imagination because of what I'm describing, from what I've been told, people who've read it so far. So I wrote about 15 pages, and I think it's a great story. It's one of the great stories, you know. I mean, I know I'm passionate about history, but I loved. I think we need to know where we came from. Otherwise, we don't know where we're going.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to your podcast when it comes out, and I'll make sure I perfect my podcast listening skills. But it's just sometimes, like when you're talking, you know, we crave to see you. So when you're on days, at least we get to see you talking, but you're in character. So sometimes it's just great, like that one interview you did at your home with, I forget her name, she was very pretty, blonde, and you look like you were in your dining room, and you had those statues behind her, and you did a some kind of an interview, but in your home. Remember which one?
Yes,
it was a year ago, maybe?
Yes. That was, oh, God, I'm trying to remember the name.
I know, I put you on a spot, didn't
yeah.
I? sorry.
Yes, it was a good interview. She was very good, actually.
She really was.
I thought it was very, very good. But have you enjoyed us coming back so far, the story?
Yes, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I haven't watched yet this week. I was waiting to do like a marathon for the weekend. But I loved watching you. Well, there was something the other day that you did. It was in last week's. That was funny. It was either a look you gave someone. I don't know if it was Glenn or not, but I'm liking what I see so far, and I'm loving what Anna's doing too. So it's definitely fun to be seeing you back.
Yeah,
but
I'll watch this week. I find it amusing that people find some of my expressions amusing. You know, it's
that's what I mean. We miss your face. We miss it.
It'll be interesting to see the sequence that I do with Jake coming up.
I was going to ask you about Jake. Did you know him when you were on GH, or was he there then?
No, he was there in GH.
Oh, because I was not watching. Yeah, I didn't watch during that time. I had taken a break from GH, and now I'm sad that I did, because I missed a lot of stuff that I wish I had seen. But I definitely, I'm liking him. I miss Tyler Crisper, but I really like the way they filled the role with Brandon, and I definitely want to see the scenes with you and Brandon that are coming up, so I have that to look forward to.
Yeah, there are only two scenes, but one's kind of a long monologue, but I thought the dialogue was very interesting.
Oh, good.
But it's been great to work with also with Leanne and with Lauren, both of them. Always a joy. And but it's kind of, I mean, we go in and there's no rehearsal really. We go through the lines
right.
With the cameras and then we shoot it. But we can't rehearse like we used to. And so I think in many ways the acting suffers because of the lack of that. It's all too quick. So that you have to have all your tricks aside and be in the present, because you never know how another actor is going to throw something at you. It could be different from what you expected. And so if you're in the present, you know how to respond. But if you're still on the lines, then you're still on the lines and you're not in the present moment. And the only time change happens is during the present. And so we have... the actors, I think, have had to really pull their socks up and really perform because of the restrictions and not just because of COVID, but also because of the lack of rehearsals.
And the atmosphere must be pretty grim sometimes, because I heard that you all have to pretty much, or maybe it was the other show, that people have to stay in their dressing rooms basically until it's time to do their scene. And then that's it, no mingling. Yeah, that's going to kind of shake up everything when you're used to, hey, how you doing, and let's run our lines together.
You want to see your fellow actors, especially when I see Billy. I enjoy Billy. He's a great guy. We work well together, and Lauren, and we have to wave to each other. You want to say, you want to come to my room? We can't come because people are watching their cameras there. So we're kind of, you better like your own company. That's what we've learned, isn't it, during COVID, that, you had to stay in and you have to say to yourself, well, what is your foundation about and how are you able to sustain yourself?
Exactly.
We sustain our physical bodies with food, but we also have to sustain our mind and our spirit. So all those things are important, and what we do with our time and not waste it. It just means that we have to adjust to a different way of life until, it becomes back to normal again.
Right. Yeah, this has been a trying year. I mean, whoever would have thought that this would have lasted this long, and getting now worse with different strains. But like you said earlier, we have a different leader now and a whole new administration. I think it's going to take a while to clean up this mess, but I have faith that it will happen, and then maybe the world will be right again at some point. I just hope so. And then you can do your trip to Iran, though. I'm not sure that's the best place to go, but you're doing.
Yes, that's an amazing culture. Iran is
but
it's a great culture. Well, I don't know.
Neither was Israel when you went there, so.
No, neither was Egypt when I went there, and the amount of times that I've gone there. But I do want to go back to Israel again and to Jordan. That's what I want to do. But I want to go to Egypt because I want to see the new museum when it finally opens. But restrictions. So anyway, listen, so I know somebody else waiting, but thank you very much for coming in and taking the time to talk to us.
Well, you're welcome.
Andrea.
No problem.
Andrea. All right, sweetie. Take
That's
care.
Right. Well, bye, Tam. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, and again, I'm sorry about the time, and please call back in whenever we have guests. Always look at our Twitter and Facebook pages, and have a great day, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so let's see. 204, you're on the air.
Hi, Carly. This is Alan calling again. I called him last night with Wally. I just wanted to speak to Teo again. I spoke to him a couple of years ago. Teo, this is your Facebook friend, Alan McLaren from Canada calling. How are you today?
Oh, hi. Nice to be the call.
I'm good.
Good. Good. I'm glad you're both good. So I'll just ask a couple of quick questions for Teo and then you get with the other callers. Teo, you know, as with watching Days of Our Lives, and you know, sometimes there's clips on YouTube. I think the best actor you're gonna find this kind of funny. The best actor you had to verse, the best actor you had chemistry male wise was yourself. I love Tony versing Andre, and that goes. What I just wanted your thoughts on that, and if you would want to see it again.
No.
It's too much for you this time, right?
You know what it is? It's because it's so quick, it's very difficult to take one character and you're shooting it from one side while the stage manager reads you the lines and you respond. So you're not getting the proper response from the other actor. And so,
and then,
you know, when they switch it around and put it on the other character, Andre, then you've got to change the attitude. I mean, the last time I did it was when Marlena was having her nightmares. And I thought, I never thought I would be playing both characters. And so part of me, I think, put a little bit of Tony and Andre and a little bit of Andre and Tony. And I didn't want to really mix them up, but they, under the circumstances, I had to find myself making different choices. And somebody said, what's the difference between Andre and Tony? And I always thought Tony was the model of a particular character. And that Andre was the imposter. And so Andre always made mistakes, but that also brought out his humor. It also made him vulnerable and hated. And I thought he was an interesting diabolical character. And all the mischief that's within me, I put in there. And now with Tony, depending on how they write you, you know, I know there was talk about maybe bringing Andre back. But I don't know. I think the hardest one was when I had to fence him in the 80s. That was the most difficult period. But I like playing both characters, you know. But together, just because of the timing, not particularly interesting, you know.
Okay, I get it. And my second question is... Because I heard you on another podcast a couple weeks ago, you said you kind of like, you know, secret rooms and masks and stuff like that. Would you ever write a book like that, like a Mission Impossible kind of days, kind of mixing, kind of like cloak and dagger type of style of writing? Would you ever think of doing that?
Yeah, I've written a script, a thriller called called The Con. And
The
I've
Con?
Done that. The Con, yes. It's out there now. It's the main. There are three characters, three grifters, but the main character, who is a bit of an imposter, I gave him a lot of different disguises.
Okay.
So I've done that. I mean, I suppose since my Mission days, I like the idea of the audience guessing what's going to happen. So, you know, how do you play mystery and how do you keep sustaining that through the series? And that's basically built on your technique and the foundation you walk on. But I mean, I like multifaceted characters, you know. They're much more interesting to play rather than someone like a priest, you know, who walks a kind of particular line and is limited. Even though I've played a priest a number of times, I like diabolical characters. They're much more interesting to play. And I think if you're a villain, then you better have a good villain, because then your hero looks stronger if you don't.
If you could take a time machine and travel back to a movie period, I asked this to you and you answered me on Facebook. We kind of both assessed that you would probably have been playing in the 40s and the 50s, you know, like a, you know, Bogey and, you know, Cary Grant, that type of stuff, you know, To Catch a Thief.
Yeah.
You know, or the Maltese Falcon and all that. I could totally see you doing the Maltese Falcon if they made it into a series or something like that, and just like that. Would you travel back to those times if you had to do a movie
period?
Well,
my favorite movies are the black and whites of the 40s, musicals of the 50s, but the 40s, I find that was a fantastic era in the American film. The cinematography, the kind of characters that you had really really carved out personalities that were fascinating to me. You know, your Humphrey Bogart, your Cary Grant, your all those Hitchcock stories. I like that period better. I like the actors better than I do today. I think all that stuff with facelifts and Botox and all that, I think it's affected people's faces, and it's not the same, you know, when you look at them. In those days, when someone got older, they got older. But,
right.
You know, it's in Hollywood, everybody's trying to look younger because they want younger people on the show. So,
right.
Trying to have longevity in this business. Hmm?
You know, an awesome project would be great as if they revived The Shadow on TV or something like that. You'd be great as The Shadow, Lamont Cranston. So, I think
you mean like when I wore my hat the other day?
Yeah, exactly. When I saw that, I thought, wow, it looks like Tony's like, reminds me of The Shadow.
Yeah, God, you know, those things I like. I mean, costumes are great, you know, clothing's great. When some actors come in T-shirts and all that, I go, oh, that's boring. You know, not everyone's James Dean and Marlon Brando, but, you know, I like hats. I like wearing things that give create an atmosphere. And you're wondering,
right.
You know, what is he going to do, you know. And to be honest with you, the hat was, I brought the hat in, and the director didn't want it. And
okay.
I said, well, if she's going to escape, she's going to need a disguise. So the hat, so they bought it that way.
Oh, awesome. I just had two quick questions to ask you, and then I'll just let you go. When you were in your 20s, you were in the immigration department. I wanted to know how you got into that, and because you worked with immigration, like when you were in your 20s, does that mean that when you go abroad, you know how to get around and all of that, or are you kind of out of the loop of stuff like that today?
Well, it was different in those days. You know, I was an immigration official in my late teens and early 20s, and because of my Greek side, I was able to speak to foreigners from Greece. I looked after a lot of Europeans. I got into it because my parents were forcing me to do other things, and I found this wonderful job, and it elevated and was a good-paying job. I had my own personal car driver picking me up when I was that age, and I loved greeting immigrants, you know. Because let's face it, when you go into a new country, you get scared because you don't know if they're going to like you, if you've got a future there, what is where you're going to live, all those things. So you have to be rather sympathetic. You know, I don't understand when people object to immigrants like we do here. And we did in Australia as well, especially the ones who come here legally. But, you know, they've got to make a transition and they've got to go through a certain amount of abuse. And I found that the English, the Germans, the South Africans, the Dutch were the worst offenders when it came to racism. And that, you know, Canada's a great country. Welcomes their immigrants. You know, people forget that we are a country of immigrants. And I just didn't like what this last administration stood for. I just thought it was very cruel to lock up children and separate them from their families. I never understood. I didn't understand. I thought, where was the heart in this? And what must have happened to those children who then saw their parents, you know, months later and didn't recognize them because they're young children. So I enjoyed those days as an official because it gave me certain knowledge. But as far as going to Europe and getting around it and everything, no, it doesn't give me any privileges having been there. You've got a visa, and that's it.
Right. My last question is, if I'm going to make a dinner party, right, of guests, what do you think the best dish to serve? Do you think I should just have appetizers, or do you think I should make a dish and say, this is the dish we're having, or surprise them? If
well,
I was having, like,
you know,
people over.
When I did my cookbook, one of the things I remembered was I like when people come into the house and they can smell the cooking. People get very hungry, you know. You create an atmosphere so that people feel like they're coming into a space that's special. Depending on your guests, you know, do you have 5 guests, 6 guests? Are you gonna, is this a sit-down dinner or is it a smorgasbord of some sort? I like the old-fashioned thing of having a first course, a second course, and dessert, and then we play cards.
Okay.
So,
and, yeah, no,
you know,
TV or anything like that, right?
No. That's, you know,
no,
that's
no, okay.
Really a, that's, that is a no-no. I mean, I'll go upstairs and watch TV, but, yeah, I don't have TVs downstairs in my house. Not even in my kitchen. You know, you're there to see your friends. You're, you know, depending on how close you are, whatever. But there are certain manners, I think, at the table and how you dress the table and how, you know, you have hors d'oeuvres when the guests arrive at the table so they can nibble on. Not too many because then they won't eat dinner. So, you know, you have a few hors d'oeuvres and then you sit them down for the dinner after they finish talking. And then the conversation is circling around the watering hole, and then you give the next. But the thing is, never let them know what you're serving. Have a surprise.
And have everything
That's
timed, I guess, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And you said play cards. What about, like, you mean like play poker?
We play gin rummy or we play 10, poker sometimes. But, yeah, I mean, I grew up with cards and drinks. You know, and so here my friends come, and nobody cooks here anymore. It's always my house where people come and get food. But on occasion, you'd like to think of someone saying, "Why don't you come over? I'm going to cook something for you." That doesn't happen anymore.
Right,
and
right. And what about
even worse?
And I'll just wrap this up. And what about salads? How do you make salads from being boring?
Well, like the other day, a friend of mine said to me, "I love this salad. Why? Because in the salad, I put arugula, I put pine nuts, and I put slices of watermelon and slices of papaya, and then sometimes I'll put raw onion and then crumble up feta cheese."
Oh, you infuse it with fruit?
Yes, I like. Well, certain fruits, you know, papaya is very good for the digestion, and also watermelon is a wonderful contrast. It's also very good for the digestive tract. But salads, you know, I don't do complicated, dressings. I like to just do olive oil, rice vinegar, and soy. I just put dashes of them in there, and it's a very light, the Japanese dressing, but very nice. And you can just do arugula, and you can put on shaved Parmesan cheese. That's one salad. You can do
okay,
arugula, or you can drinks.
Drinks.
Well, usually most people just drink wine. I like an occasion tequila, but you know, if I'm doing a meat dish, then that's going to be red. But if I do fish, like I love doing scallops with capers, I will do it with a white wine, nice white wine, dry white wine.
Okay, awesome. Okay, thanks a lot, Teo. Looking forward to seeing more on Days of Our Lives, and ciao.
Thank you, McLaren. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in. And now we are going to... Bobby.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hey. This is Bobby.
Bobby?
Yeah, we talked before, both on the Diva Day show and also on this show before.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
So how are you?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm fine.
I have one question.
Yeah.
I have one question. Will your podcast be available for iTunes and Google Play, or is it just specifically for a site like Spotify?
You know, my manager's going to set all that up. As soon as I know, I'll announce it, where it's going to be. That will probably be in the next, probably sometime in February. Now that I finished now I've got to record it. So this afternoon, I'm having a technician come to set up the microphone and everything so that the sound will be very effective. I'm going to probably, because my space in the office is not large, but the ceilings are very tall, so I have to watch how the sound is. So we're going to test that today. But, you know, there are a lot of podcasts now, I hear, and but I'm going to, you know, I have so many stories to tell and so many journeys that I've taken. Even my book, my first book on Football Places, I talked about the journeys that I've taken. And so it's really inviting people into my personal life and with what I've done and what insights I've had, having been to Europe many, many times and have studied history for years. And so I thought I'd put it up, and people like me telling stories. So that's where I'm going to concentrate on, depending on the subject. You know, I just, the first one will be a trilogy, so.
Yeah. Okay. And my question, that was basically it, but I just wanted to say that I'm looking forward to your return back to Days. I'm looking forward to Leanne's return back to Days. Hopefully this can give you an Emmy nomination. And like Carly said, if you don't get an Emmy or you don't even get a win, then there's something wrong with the Emmy people.
Thank you. I don't know if I'm going to submit an Emmy nom this year, even though I've been nominated twice back to back. I'm not quite sure. I have to look through the shows. But we'll see. But thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Well, you have a great day, and take care.
And you too, sir. You too. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay. All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, good job, Bobby. Right. I love what you said. Okay. I'm going to bring on David for his last time on the show. So here he is. Hi, David.
Hi. How you doing?
Hello. Hello, David.
I'll be calling tomorrow. Let you know. So, yeah, not my last time. You're doing a great job on Days. Doing a great job on Days.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And
for taking the time.
Would like to work with Joseph Marcel? Would like to work with Tesno?
With Joseph
Marcel?
Like
yeah.
Oh, wonderful. I miss him a lot. He was a very enigmatic man. He had he was a very strong, powerful kind of guy. I'd known him from my acting class. I had recommended him to the show when they were looking for my father, and Joe joined us 6 months later. But there was only one Joe. You could never replace him, I don't think. And, you know, he had that enormous personality and that powerful voice. And he was nobody's fool. But his last days were not easy. You know, with dementia coming in, it was very sad. And it was very hard to, when I worked with him those days, where I held his hand because he was forgetting. And that's a terrible disease. Anyway, he left us too early, I think. Well, that's why they still have his portrait, you know. He left a powerful personality behind. And anyway, Joe was Joe, and he was not always easy, but he was a terrific actor and very talented in many aspects of life. And, yeah, Daddy was a good guy.
I agree. He's great, Miss. It was like playing two roles. You played two before, Andre and Tony. It was like playing the two roles.
Playing the dual roles?
Yes. You mean Andre and Tony at one time, at the same time.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what your question was.
You played Andre and Tony at the same time at one time. How was that playing Andre and Tony? You played a dual role.
That was not easy. Because what faced me as one character was the stage manager running the line, and I had to pretend it was Andre, or Andre had to pretend it was Tony. They're not, and it's fast, you know, you really have to. So in other words, what you have, you may have a 5-page scene, well, it becomes a 5-page monologue because you've got to know the lines on both characters. And when we're rushing that fast into the storyline, it's not an easy system. But, you know, you change your attitude. So I look for humor with Andre and with Tony. I try to give the character some sophistication. And Andre, I always remember, was the imposter. So it was great playing them. I'd rather play them separately than together.
We did. Good job of doing both. Playing both. We did a good job. And I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for coming by. And David, right? You have a lovely day, sir.
You too, thanks. Thanks for my question.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm going to put you on hold. And 425, you are on mail.
What's that?
425. Hello, you here?
Hello. Hi. Hello. This
Hello.
Is Dama.
Hi, who's this?
This is Dama.
Who is it?
Dama.
Oh, welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you all?
I'm doing good. I loved all your goodies. I must say, those magazines were fabulous. So, really. And how's your daughter?
Yes, she's doing well. You know, it's quite hard to not be, for her to be going to school with her friends. But, you know, she's handling it. We're still keeping her with her, she's doing her Russian, and she's doing really well with that, and she's doing her dance. They've been doing it via the Zoom mostly, but here our restrictions kind of eased up in the area we're at, and so they're trying to phase back in doing some in-person, but of course, very limited numbers of students and following all the guidelines and all of that. But yeah, she's doing well. She's getting big. She's gonna be double digits at the end of March for her birthday. So.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish her a happy birthday when it comes. Tell her Uncle Teo said hello.
Yes, yeah, she will appreciate that. She's glad to get to send you things from time to time.
Well,
it's
sweet.
Been really wonderful hearing all of the stories and all of your projects that are coming up, and especially about the podcast, and I hope that all of the final preparations go well, and really look forward to hearing the news when it comes about that, and hoping that there will be more storyline for you coming up this year as well. And
yes.
You simply must submit yourself again to the Emmys, please. There is no about this. You have to.
Well, after a while, you know, you just, they block votes. You know, I'm sorry, but it becomes a bit of a farce after a while. They just block vote CBS and ABC, and we don't at all. It just makes it harder. I mean, when you see who wins sometimes or who's up for it, when you think of you know, like Ari last year did some extraordinary work, I thought, and she should have won. And then you see who won. You know, after a while, after you've won six or seven, give it to somebody else who's been and had done wonderful work. And she was the exception last year, I thought. You know, so, you know, I remember Tony Geary would win every year, every time he was up there. It's just, no wonder the Emmys, that nobody can remember who won from the year to year. It's the way it's done. It's not, it's, you know, there was a time when you won and people, your producers or your nominated would call in and congratulate. They don't do that anymore. So it's not a, it's a disappointing. That's why I'm not as enthused this year as I was, but thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, well, let me get off and let someone else have a turn. Thank you.
All right,
hey,
well, thank you.
By the way, are you from Seattle? Cause it's
yes, I am. Yes,
oh,
I am
I.
From Seattle.
Yeah, that's why I... please call back in. I never get Seattle people. So call in whenever you can. I love getting, you know, when I recognize the area code, I'm like, oh, they are in my area code. That's cool. So please call back in whenever you like.
Yeah. Okay, I will.
Thanks
very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and
well,
the last. Yeah, we are my host beside me has a couple of quick questions.
Hi, Teo. It's Nadia.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Calling? I'm good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Boston.
Oh, must be cold there.
Oh, yes, it's cold here. We have snow, too.
Oh, yes, I would think so. I used to live on the East Coast.
Oh, wow. Where in the East Coast?
New York.
New York, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of questions for you. So so have you ever done any, like, theater besides acting on a soap opera?
Oh, my God, yes. That's how I started. I did theater in New York and theater here at the Geffen Playhouse, also at the Cape May stage in New Jersey. Yeah, I started that way, and I love doing the theater. It's, I think, the best training in the world.
Yes, theater is great. I loved it.
I was in musicals
and... Yeah, I was in musicals. I was in Grease. I was in Hello, Dolly.
Oh, my God. They're good musicals.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No.
What was your favorite theater show?
Probably I love Les Mis.
Oh, Les Mis is my favorite. That's really good.
Yeah, Les Miserables. I also like... I remember seeing a guy in my early days in New York. I got to see Katharine Hepburn playing Coco Chanel. That was wonderful. I like musicals the best. Plays sometimes. I mean, I did a play in New York called Jockeys. And that kind of gave me a breakthrough in film. And I did three movies back to back. Then I came back here, and then I worked at the Geffen Playhouse with a show that was written by the man who created Man of La Mancha. And then I was going to do A Man for All Seasons with Charlton Heston and Vanessa Redgrave at the Arlington. But then I was offered a movie, and I decided to do that instead. I wish I had done that, but yeah. But still, you know, the hardest thing of all in the soaps, because you're never satisfied. At least you get to rehearse for 4 weeks to do a play. And but with us, you know, it's a one quick rehearsal with the cameras, and then you've got to do it. And when you're doing a 5-page scene, you know, you're not quite there yet. You need another run through. Mm-hmm. You know, but we don't always get it because of costs and all that. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that's great that you like theater as well, because that's usually how people, you know, start out acting before they hit, like, the TV, like the soap operas and stuff. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of actors in New York who are doing soaps were also doing theater. And they had asked me at one point to become a member of All My Children, and I turned it down. Because I didn't like the winters in New York.
Right.
You know, so, but anyway. So do you have a question?
Let's see. So of all the, of all the roles that you have, do you have a favorite that you've done?
I would say probably Andre. It's in the soap. Yeah, in the soap. But as far as nighttime, I think I enjoyed Nicholas Black on Mission Impossible. I thought that was good. I also like the character I played in Altered States called Echeverria, because of the research I had to do on hallucinogens and working with Bill Hurt. That I enjoyed. You know, you have to find a way. You know, if you're going to do a job as an actor, you have to find a way of liking your character. Otherwise, you're not as successful as you could be. So you've got to find what it is within you that you will enjoy playing this.
Mm-hmm.
Find the spirit of the character, and then you build a foundation. And I talk about that in my podcast. You have to build a foundation for the character you're going to play. Otherwise, you don't know where you're walking.
Exactly.
We must understand our entrances, because our entrances is how the people perceive you. And you better know coming
right.
in, when you open that door, the kind of walk you're walking, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, because how, you know, you present yourself is, you know, how the people see you. So it's, like you said, the entrance is the main thing.
Yeah, that's where people make up their mind right away. It's like a picture. You tell me that people make a judgment right away. But anyway.
Right.
So,
what's that?
Sorry. I don't know where that
is. I was like, what is that? So sorry about that. I don't know what that is. I just wanted to thank you very much. You're doing an awesome job on Days. I love Days of Our Lives. I've been watching it since I was a kid. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you for coming on. Much appreciated.
Yes, I am a host for the show, so I'm a host with Carly, so you'll be hearing me a lot. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nadia and I are partners with the show. So, yeah. So whenever you want to come back, and we hope
you
do. And I'm sorry for my phone, cell phone not going crazy. But we love having you on the show. We are so much big fans of you, and we want you to stay on Days. And if you have any projects, please let us know, because we would like to get you on the show for it.
Okay. I'll let you know. But thank you very much. I enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you,
have a...
Yes, thank you.
I'm sorry we went a little over the hour, but thank you so much for calling, and come back anytime.
Thank you. You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
And thanks to everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so, everyone is
I'm here,
right?
Carly.
Of course you are.
Hi.
Okay,
hello?
So,
David?
I think you muted David.
What?
You muted David.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, she muted me to me. I muted me.
Okay. All right. Okay. This is the big announcement. In the last 20 minutes, we've all booking go through Nadia. She's the head of booking. And that David will be stepping down from booking to the three co-hosts. Bye, David.
No, Dad.
So, and David, if you have any name for Nadia, give us the contact information. And the hope you follow the bill.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine. So if I have some ideas, do I go through you and Nadia in the right down the road? Because I have a lot of ideas of a lot of stories from Days in General Hospital and Young and Restless and Bowling Beautiful. I would love to have on the show.
Yeah, I mean, we are gonna
just give them to me.
Yeah,
okay.
Just tell me and I'll.
Nadia.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
when we get off the phone, Nadia, I gotta text you and
okay,
I gotta text you somebody that
you
talk to.
You guys,
yes,
let's not talk over each other. Let's work on that. But
I'm sorry about that.
I think right now, Nadia probably never thought she was signing up for booking, but I needed that. And we are going to get more people. And the reason why sometimes we might have two for the day, because we are in such hard demand right now, right, Nadia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, so just, you know, David, I appreciate you, all your years of booking.
I'm saying it. I got it.
But you will still be on the show, but just as a co-host. So I want to thank you for giving in, because this is a new era of Daytime After Dark. And yes, we are a crazy family, I know, but this is what Nadia and I have seen also for by now. We are getting people we never dreamed of getting, everyone. So let this start
go ahead,
on the slate. Wait, okay, let's start on the new slate clean, and I will fix the banner. And I will let people know, contact Nadia. And so Richard told you how long for the interview tomorrow?
1 minute. I said it. To a text.
Okay. Oh, that's a fast one.
And who's it with?
Richard Eden, right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yes. And Bobby, I would like you to text Nadia your email address for you. I mean, because sometimes our cell phones, you know, might lose the schedule. So I think the best thing we can do for Daytime After Dark, you agree with me, Nadia, is to have also in an email.
Yes, because
right.
It's easier for me to follow.
I feel like that's professional. And
right.
The way to go
right.
With that.
And I think,
you know,
and I think that was a mistake we made the other night.
Not necessarily.
I think that was a mistake we made the other night.
Yeah, and also, no talking over each other, but I wanted to say our condolences out to our friend Morgan England. I know you've never interviewed him, Nadia. He's been on Guiding Light, and he's an awesome guy, but his mom died
mm-hmm.
last night, and his mom was Cora Sleafman. Have you ever heard of her?
Yeah.
No.
You've never heard of Cora Sleafman?
No. Camille Woolen, well, has been
on
the world.
I'm the only one that heard of her.
She's been on so many things. Gloria, Maritime Moore, she won the Oscar, Emmy, Maritime Moore. She's been, a government friend. She's on Maritime Moore.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah, Grace Leisman was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh,
but,
see, I couldn't understand you. Yes,
okay.
I know who she is. I'm
you
sorry.
Know, and, sometimes I don't know the older generation either, so don't feel bad. She was on Facts of Life.
You call me yo.
I loved her on. And a couple of years ago, she was on Dancing with the Stars. And she was the mother in last year, The Replacement. And right now, they are saying, they are not saying what she passed away from. But I have this really bad feeling, and I don't want to say it, but I think COVID got her.
No, I think so.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. They are calling natural causes.
If you're 94.
Okay, I never knew
if you're 94.
You could die of natural causes.
Yeah.
But also,
good.
We forgot earlier in the week, and same on us.
It's
same
just
on
us that are talking now.
Like, I want to also pay our respects to Larry King that passed away over the weekend. Larry King was pioneer of talk shows. Now, besides Oprah, but Larry King was able to get all the presidents on, all foreign leaders on, Michael Jackson on, everyone on, and he died because of COVID-19. I mean, that wasn't that killed him. It was related to COVID. So,
right. We have lost a lot of people because we lost Donald with
King.
Our
I grew up. I grew up. My grandmother and I would watch Larry King. And, you know, and he told me, my grandfather told me, at 15, he goes, you know what? That's going to be you someday. I go, I don't want to be on TV. And he goes, you don't have to be on TV, honey. You can just be on the radio, and you know how to interview people. So at 15, my grandfather kind of put me in the right direction on this career path. And I'm watching Larry King do interviews, and Bubba Walters do interviews was something I wanted to do for the daytime community. And Nadia, if you get people from movies or football or cooking shows, I don't care. We will take anyone because we are like the melting pot. And talking about the melting pot, before I go, we have this place called the Melting Pot for Fondue. And I don't know if you guys heard about what fondue is. Have you heard of fondue, Nadia?
Yes.
Okay, so we have this restaurant called the Melting Pot that is fondue. And I love fondue more than anything else in this world. I think it's so yummy. And you dip the bread in, and then you can dip the meat in. And I've been dreaming of it since COVID started, because like restaurants like that are closed down. So yes. And tomorrow we have one more interview. Then let's see. Then we have oh my gosh, who do we have?
Hold on, I got
the schedule. Right?
Yes, so
I
want to
say one more thing.
I want to say one more thing before we continue.
A
lot of people coming on. And, you know, so, yeah, someday there will be two shows in a day. and we will let everyone know in the group text. And also, you know, let's take your time and enjoy the view. And
right.
I'm waiting for my lungs to arrive. I got a panini sandwich because I don't want to cook and I'm not a cook. What are you guys having for dinner?
Well, I'm planning to have tacos, but I wanted to say one more thing. When you talk about deaths, we lost Hank Aaron last week. We lost Don Wells, who was on Gilligan's Island and did Bowling Beautiful for a brief time last month. So we lost a lot of people.
Well, yeah, and you know, I just want to say that everyone, hold on tight, get you vaccinated, and we have bubbles. What did you have, Nadia?
Chicken city and broccoli.
You too damn healthy for me. You know I'm kidding, but you all.
I know.
I'm just giving you a hard time, you know that. What about you, David?
Hello?
I didn't drop him. Maybe he had to go with, it's fine. We have 3 more minutes left, but all I want to say is I'm glad we got everything worked out. You too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so February 2nd,
yep,
it was something
I needed to do. And also, yeah, we are going to be busy, but being busy good is good. And also, you guys, before I forget, to say that it looks like we will be getting the $1,400 from the stimulus check. It's looking really good. And they are talking about doing more stimulus packages until this is over. So, Nadia, are you supposed to go back in a month for work, or is that definite, or is that right now the plan?
Not sure. So they have another, they're doing like a month-to-month day-off thing, so program. So I'll know February 3rd or 4th if I get the month of March off. So we'll see.
I mean, it's a hard time for the airlines.
It
you
is.
You know, but I mean, no one should be traveling right now. I mean, I want you to work naughty. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying I would
mm-hmm.
not feel comfortable getting on a plane right now. I mean, with the way everything is in Washington, we got another mutation of the virus. We've got 3 cases now. And why we started in Washington, Seattle, Washington, I have no idea. And I call that unfair because some other states will be first besides us. So, but yeah, you guys, please just always wear your mask and everything because it helps. And thank you, everyone, for calling in. And I will do the link tonight so people can listen to this tonight.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Bye, guys. Have a good night. Bye.